Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the sixth day of May, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the remnant. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelites of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai and Borada, also Cumri and Beth. So my Welsh kinsmen know what I just said. Basically, good morning and welcome to the program. Wales forever. We will accept calls later on in the broadcast, but we do ask that you maintain decorum and watch your language. Also, try not to walk on top of each other. And also, we are in the question and answer mode, which means whether you come in by computer or by phone, you are muted until such time as you indicate to me you wish to join the conversation, which helps me and helps you as well. So the way you don't, when you call in, you don't have to worry about any kind of background noise that you're making, whatever. But if you do wish to join in with either a question or a comment, please feel free to do so. This is a platform for all of Jacob Israel, especially in these times. And so don't be bashful. In the last program, Cody called in and actually stuck with the program, I think, for over an hour. And so, you know, again, it's a family affair, right? Matthew 18:15 says, "If your brother sins against you, go, show him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained back your brother." Well, a little common sense there, right? And we have to remember in the Greek, which is what this was written in, that word brother comes from adelphos, meaning from the same womb, which goes back to ancient Israel. Jacob Israel, not that litter box over in Palestine today, but it goes back to that period of time when, remember, it says honor your father and mother in the Ten Commandments. Who's your father and your mother? Abraham and Sarah. Okay? It's not the earthly parents, because I'm going to tell you, the older I get, the more I find out earthly parents, in many cases, aren't worth a shit. Okay, they know how to have a baby, but they don't know how to raise a child. They don't know how to raise a proper son or daughter. So I always had trouble with that. Honor your father and mother. There's a lot of fathers and mothers out there that are not honorable people. And then it dawned on me some time ago when I was reading another person's work. That scripture is talking about Abraham and Sarah, two parents that were fit. And they were the great ancestors of the Israelites. So that makes perfect sense. Honor Sarah and Abraham. And what were Sarah and Abraham? They were racially pure. They raised up their children properly. They honored the Father. They honored the Scriptures. They honored the Ten Commandments. And that's why you honor them. You honor them by keeping your family pure, keeping your house clean, keeping your children safe. That makes perfect sense. And just like this verse in Matthew 18, your brother from the same womb, meaning from the womb of Sarah. It's a racial connotation. And how do we know it's true? Because the world wants you to think race doesn't matter. The church world teaching you that these scriptures were written for everybody on earth. When common sense ought to tell you that, well, wait a minute, it was written in Greek. How many people wrote and spoke Greek back in that time? Only Israelites. No other people did. Well, why didn't they write it in Swahili? Why didn't they write it in Arabic? Well, because it wasn't meant for the world. That's the modern day lie of Satan and his critters. And that's why we're going to talk about the remnant today, because it's becoming apparent there's only a remnant of people that actually give a crap about much of anything today. Now, that being said, there's going to be lots of people go, well, Dan, that's a racist statement. You're saying that the Bible's only for what people? My preacher says the Bible is for everybody. So, no, it is for everybody in the sense that, Father's law is for everybody. And it also says that we are blessed. Those that bless us will be blessed. Those that curse us will be cursed. Correct? So who's that talking about? It's talking about the other people, okay? And I've lived that. Okay, I've got plenty of people of other races who I call neighbors and friends. And we get along fine because it's respectful. So again, as they bless me, I bless them. If they curse me, I curse them, which is exactly what we're supposed to do. All right? If you want to be treated with respect, show respect. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I mean, all those scriptures come into play, and it's all common sense. Right? Ralph says here, he only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and this is DNA, not spiritual. Dispensationalist BS. Yeah, Ralph's right. That's right. He says in the book of Matthew, this same book, I've come but for the loss of, or I've come but for the house of Jacob Israel. I'm getting a text from one of our listeners that says they cannot get onto the program. So let me reassure them that I am. You know, there's a lot of strange things happening on the internet and with phones, I've noticed lately. Things have slowed down. The processor's not quite as fast. And they can do that with Trojans and malware and stuff like that. Or they can also put up choke points on the internet. Okay, so Levi says here, Levi Hunter says, you sound fine. Thanks, Levi. Yeah, my indicators show I'm going out okay, and obviously you folks can hear, so I'm not sure why. Now, this person that just sent me the text is usually on every time, and now today they're having problems. Well, last night I was in conversation with people, and the phone kept cutting out, or it would get very garbled, okay? Now, that happens from time to time, but it just seems here lately things are happening much more frequently. Definitely the slowdown of the internet. Now, some people are saying that's because everybody's home because of the lockdowns. No, that's not necessarily true, because even when you're at work, okay, they go out over some of the same trunks that the home networks go over. And besides that, you know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense why now, if there was going to be that much of a bandwidth problem. What it appears to me to be more like is we're being set up for what's coming next. Okay, got to remember, we're cattle to these people, these Talmudic, Zionist, communist dogs that have infiltrated our society, view us as mere herd animals, like cattle. Okay, so we're always being manipulated, always being manipulated. Either they want more money from us or more submission, and sometimes both, like with this current so-called pandemic, which is an absolute joke. Okay, they want both submission and more money, because the whole idea is they're going to try to force the vaccines on us. So why would they slow down and mess up the phones? Well, because the pushback on 5G, for one thing, okay? Hold on a minute, I'm getting a... Oh, okay, very good, okay. Good, Angel, thank you. With the information coming out about wireless technology and what the dangers of it, and the fact there's never really been a proper safety study done by the industry. Now, there's been plenty of safety studies done by independent organizations, but no studies been done by the IT corporations themselves, internet. So with all this information starting to get out, as people are becoming more aware, they're starting to wake up. So they have to get you to beg for 5G. So how do you do that? You slow down and make telephones work less efficiently. You slow down the bandwidth, even though they're telling you that, you know, everything's the same as it was before. No, it's very easy to do that. Those of us that have worked in electronics and around computers, whoever controls the algorithms and whoever controls the programming and sets up the parameters of the program, they control what goes on. Okay, don't make any mistake about it. I've got plenty of friends who are professional code writers. And besides that, I grew up with computers. Computers came into existence in my 20s. And in my work in the power industry, I worked with computers all the time, back in their infancy. So I know what the programmers can and cannot do. And they could easily slow things down just by changing a few variables in certain algorithms. And see, here's this is how you're being played, okay? Oh, well, phones, we need 5G because everybody's on their phones and we just can't. No, that's not why they need 5G. You could have fine phone service under 4G. They want 5G for all the other things that they have got planned. And the fact that they want every single person tagged with a phone. They want you with the phone 24/7. They want you to do everything over your phone. For two reasons. One, it makes it easier to track what you're doing and saying and what you buy and everything else. And number two, it also allows them to track you. They can listen in on your conversations. They can listen in even when you think the phone is turned off. Okay? So you'll carry it with you all the time. So 5G will allow them to make it much more indispensable. You see, the road to hell is paved with what? Convenience. The road to hell is paved with convenience. How did they rope us all into this? Convenience. And when we weren't behaving as a herd animal the way they like, they start generating laws. That's why the Antichrist Talmudic Jews got into the legal world so much. Because when you won't go along instinctively with their programming, then they're going to force you into it with law. For instance, here in the state of Florida, they passed a law some time back saying you could not live off the grid. Now, why would a government tell the people they can't live off the grid? Well, a legitimate Christian Caucasian government, of course, would not come up with nonsense like that. But Zionist Talmudic communists would, because the grid is how they both monitor you and threaten you, you see. So they want you to get completely attached to your phone, doing everything over your phone, because then when they threaten to shut it off, you will succumb. That's their mentality. And they're going to be right about the majority. However, there is a remnant. Yahweh's remnant is aware of what they're doing. And the remnant appears to be growing in number, as the valley of dead and dry bones becomes spiritual once again and stops thinking completely like consumers and materialistic dotes who will do whatever the New World Order says. But think about it. This is why they want that damn thing on you. So a lot of the remnant who are aware of this are shutting them off. That's what I do. I shut it off a lot. Or I will place it on a counter and just leave it sit there all day. Just like an old landline phone, just leave it sit on the counter. It's got voicemail, just like the old phones. Okay? It'll save up text and voicemail. I don't need it on me. And that way they don't know where I went. They don't know where I'm at. They can't listen into all my conversations. And besides that, it's annoying, to be honest with you. Having that thing on you all the time is annoying. Not only that, the thing is radiating into your body. You know, it was interesting. There was somebody that some so-called expert. I love how they always, the mainstream media always tells you it's an expert. So some IT expert, okay? Of course, you can't see the Jewish dollars sticking out of his back pocket. Some experts said all this worry over 5G and the radiation coming out of these phones, oh, it's nonsense. We've got plenty of data that says it's safe. Really? Isn't that funny? I lost my cousin, or not my cousin, my nephew, 28-year-old nephew, died of cancer a couple of years ago after a year-long struggle. And less than a week after his passing, I'm talking to my brother, and they had all bought brand new phones while he was still fighting the cancer. I guess it was kind of a trying to cheer everybody up because they knew things weren't going well. And he's pulling out the owner's manual, and he looks at it, and he goes, oh, my God. Because we'd had this discussion during the time of him having cancer, because why is my 27-year-old son, this is my brother speak, why does my 27-year-old son, who's a first responder, an EMT, healthy as, you know, can be, young, fit, why does he have cancer? Could all these electronic devices have something to do with it, and the tons of vaccines that he was given to be an EMT? And not to mention that, but the medical facility that gave him his massive amounts of vaccines messed up the paperwork, and he had to have it all done again. So it was bad enough that his body was riddled with all of these vaccines that they required him to have, but then he had to go and get a second round because they screwed up the paperwork. And then all of a sudden he's got cancer. Imagine that. So while we talk about all that, he's looking at the owner's manual, and right there in the owner's manual for the new phones, in the back, in fine print, it says, keep this device at least 1.5 inches away from your body at all times. How many people read their owner's manuals? Maybe 1 in 1,000. 0.1%. Probably 1 in 1,000 people actually look at anything in the owner's manual. Now, how many read the fine print where the warnings and things are? Probably 1 in 10,000. It could be as bad as 1 in 100,000. So they put it back there so their conscience is clear. They're going up to Father Yahweh saying, look, yeah, we're despicable Talmudic sons of Satan. And yeah, we know that this radiation's bad, but look, we warned them. We put it back here. It's in plain English. Keep that thing away from your body. Is it our fault they don't read? Is it our fault that they don't ever look at the warnings? Is it our fault that they don't have any common sense that something putting out an energy field can affect the body and the tissues and the electrical circuits of the body? Is it our fault that these people are that stupid? No, I don't want to step on any toes, but folks, we are that stupid. Common sense should tell you that, but maybe I was blessed in the fact that I was in the Air Force as a young man, and I worked on electronic transmitters, the things that put out exactly the same thing that these phones put out, only slightly different frequencies, slightly different modifications, or I should say waveforms, and definitely different power levels, because a B-52 bomber flying up way up in the sky, we'll say approximately 10 miles, when it's up there, it's got to have some pretty good wattage to be able to jam a radar station down on the earth. So it's going to put out a hell of a lot more power than your phone is, but the principle is still the same. And as I left a comment recently on one of the YouTubes I was watching, in the Air Force, in our tech manuals, we were required to put out warning signs whenever we operated the equipment on the ground, on the flight line. So let me ask you a question. If RF doesn't affect the body, why was I putting out warning signs that nobody was to go near the antenna of the plane while I was transmitting? Okay, just asking. Now, is there a difference, slight difference in power levels? Of course, but the transmitter on the plane was to jam a signal for a few minutes. Whereas this phone's on your body and transmitting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, so the power level's a lot less, but your exposure is a lot more. It's sort of like when I went into nuclear power, same idea, ionizing radiation coming off the reactor. They used to tell us you can have chronic or you can have acute effects of radiation. Okay, acute means that it's a high dose in a short period of time, which is like the B-52 bomber sitting on the flight line. If you go near that, that's an acute dose. It's high voltage, high frequency, going to do harm to you. Whereas chronic means lower dose, but more exposure over a long period of time. So the ionizing radiation at nuclear power plants and the radiation coming off that electronic transmitter are very similar in the sense, okay? So if you're further away and on your phone, if it's further away, lower dose, but it's happening over and over and over, you can still have an accumulative effect. Do you see how that works? So right there was a mic drop, but people like to use that term now, mic drop moment for my brother, because he argued with me. For the whole year, my cousin, or my, my nephew was fighting cancer. The family would argue with me when I said electronic devices could have something to do with this. Not only that, but the vaccines. Oh, you're just antiquated, Dan. Come up with the new age, man. We got all kind of experts like this Fauci and Birx and all the rest of these hags and these whores that take money from the big people like Gates and Soros and all the other rich Zionist Talmudic communists with all their billions of electronic money. They're able to buy people like Fauci and Birx because they got no character, no moral. They're psychopaths. They'll say on television whatever they're told to say to keep the status quo, to keep the money flowing. We're supposed to be smart enough to figure it out. That's the difference. We're supposed to be smart enough to figure it out. I don't know about you folks, but as soon as that Fauci guy, the very first time I saw him on my brother's television set, I walked away and said, that guy's a liar. As soon as I saw him. The look on his face, look in his eyes, his body language, the way he spoke. I said, the guy's a freaking liar. Worse than that, he's a piece of shit. And then people started catching on him, so they bring a female in. An older female that's supposed to add a little more believability to this nonsense, okay? And she's just as much of a psychopath and liar as Fauci is. She just doesn't look as bad. See, it's all about the image, right? Symbolism over substance, as Rush Limbaugh used to say. Symbolism over substance. The image of the beast. The image controlled by the beast telling you, oh, it's okay. Fauci looks like a Jew, Caucasian guy says. Fauci is a Jew. Are you kidding me? If it quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, smells like a duck, it's a duck. Of course he is. He'll do whatever they tell him to do. Look up his history, for crying out loud. That's all you have to do. Look at the man's background. Judge them by their fruits. You don't judge them by their words. Where in Scripture does it ever tell us to judge somebody by their words? It says judge them by their fruit. Because a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And consequently, or conversely, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. But a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And these are bad trees. Talmud vision, tell lie vision, is full of these so-called trusted voices. They're actually the voices of Satan himself. They're doing the work of their father. Satan. Satan in Hebrew. What's that? Oh, the adversary. What's diablos in Greek? where we get the word devil. Oh, adversary. How about that? Carries over the same connotation. What are they the adversary of? Adversary of everything that's good in this world. They are liars, deceivers, cheats, murderers, rapists, pedophiles. You name it. They are the adversary of everything that is good and right. And when they're telling you that sticking you with a vaccine is good for you, that should send the antenna up immediately. The remnant should have their antenna up immediately as soon as one of these quacks, these so-called trusted voices, tell you, oh, we're here from the government and we're here to help you. My grandfather taught me that when I was a little boy. As soon as you hear those words, reach for your wallet and run away. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. As he used to tell me, that is an oxymoron. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. An oxymoron. For you folks that don't know what an oxymoron is, it's basically saying it is impossible. They are diametrically opposed. Just like they used to say it's an oxymoron to say naval intelligence. Okay, wait a minute. From the Navy and intelligence. That doesn't go together. So that's an oxymoron. So from the government, here to help is an oxymoron. That's why the Bible calls him a beast, okay? Just like a beast. Okay, what's the one thing that you hear government talking about for the last decade, all the time? Continuity of government. Why do we need continuity of government? Why is that such a concern? Well, for the government people, it's a concern. For the people that are getting a paycheck, which by this time is what, 30 million? Almost 1 out of 10 people in this country is getting a paycheck from the government. That doesn't even count how many people are on government handouts, which they now want that to be almost all of us. Okay? That's why. They're like a beast. All they care about is staying in power, staying alive. And they will devour us to do it. They will devour our lives, they'll devour our livelihoods, our jobs, our property, our businesses. And they're in the process of doing that right now. They're consuming everything. Because continuity of the beast, just substitute beast for government and you'll get it right. Continuity of the beast system is all important. And all you men and women in uniform, you're all part of that. You know that, right? All of you are, in one way or another. If you don't take a stand against it, you're part of it. As Christ himself said, if you're not for me, you're against me. You know, George Bush Sr., that piece of shit, I hope he is dead. He belongs to be dead. When he said, you're either for us or against us, well, Georgie, I've been against you from day one. The remnant is against you, Georgie. Because you are a psychopath. Your son is a psychopath just like you are. And all the rest of the cretins and the miscreants in Washington, D.C. are all psychopaths. The remnant are supposed to see through their bullshit. If you can't see through it, then I'm sorry, but you're not part of the remnant. I got to tell you this. You know, you can go to church all you want. That doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in your garage makes you a car. It's just not going to happen. You can sit out here for the next 1,000 years and you're still not going to be a car. You can sit in that church for the next 1,000 years and that doesn't make you a believer. Does it make you good? Does it make you part of the remnant? Knowing the identity message, that's no different than that garage. Just knowing this message doesn't make you any different than anybody else. Because the enemy knows this message. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Do you ever remember reading that in Scripture? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We got a lot of hearers. We got a lot of people sitting on their asses in pews listening to the word of Yahweh. Well, they get a portion of it. Let's put it that way. They get the sanitized version of Scripture. That's what these modern whores called preachers will give you. They'll give you the watered-down doctrine of devils as if you're hearing the actual words of our Father. Nothing could be further from the truth. They wouldn't know His word if it hit them upside the head. They came out of seminary being taught how to run a business. Why do you think all your preachers have seminary degrees? Where did that come from, by the way? Where is it written that I can't preach unless I have a seminary degree? I'm going to tell you, I don't have one. I wouldn't take one if you gave it to me. So where did the remnant come up with the idea that the man of God to teach you had to have training in a seminary? That should send the antenna up right away. A seminary degree? What the hell does that got to do with a calling from the Father? Did the Father call for us to go to seminaries? What do they learn in seminaries? Have you people ever talked to somebody that came out of a seminary? I've been blessed. There's a lot of the brothers, no sisters, all brothers that have come to this message that came out of seminaries. Pastor Greg comes to mind, one of the fellows up in Michigan, Miss Betty's husband. He was an actual Jesuit priest. And he came out of all of that to teach identity. And there's others that I know, too. And they've told me, Doc Blanchard was a trained Baptist minister. Pastor Greg was a trained Baptist minister. One of the guys I worked with from Georgia was a trainee lay preacher from the Baptist church. So they all told me what they learned in seminary. Jeez, guess what? Very little time studying Scripture. Does it sound like our law schools today? How much time do they spend in the Constitution? Almost none. Almost none. That's why all they care about is keeping the status quo going. They're prostitutes. They're whores. They take oaths of office. Do they mean it? Of course not. Most of you soldiers out there, most of you police officers, you know what the hell I'm talking about. You took that oath to get the job. Now, I hate to break this to you, but our Heavenly Father takes oaths very seriously. That's why it says in Scripture, you do not take an oath in vain. He takes this oath very seriously. So you might take it with a grain of salt, but He takes it very seriously, and we the people take them very seriously. And there are many former police officers and veterans like myself who take the oath that we took seriously. You took the oath, people. You took the oath that said that you would uphold the Constitution, meaning that you would obey it, because the Constitution was written to guide you, not us. The Constitution has nothing to do with the way I live and what my rights are. Nothing whatsoever. The Constitution is to protect us from you. It's our guarantee that you will obey what it says so that you can carry that badge and that gun, or you can wear that uniform, or you can sit in that state capitol or the federal. That's your guarantee to us that you'll behave yourself while we give you trust and our money and control of our money. That's why it's called representative government. Okay, they've completely turned it around to where they consider themselves the master. And again, continuity of government. Oh, we got to have continuity of government. Really? Why? That's funny. Spain, their central government shut down for over a year because they couldn't get a budget passed. That's funny. I looked on the map. Spain's still there. I've gone on the internet and I checked with different sources from Spain. They seem to have done pretty damn well. In fact, a lot of Spanish people were talking about how much nicer things were with the government shut down. But, oh, that's right, your mainstream media didn't tell you that, did they? Oh, gee, I wonder why. Because the mainstream media is nothing but whores. Nothing but whores. All mainstream media and the CIA and government agencies control a lot of the internet news that you're seeing as well. So you have to have your discernment on high. You have to have your radar on high, long-range radar at full capacity right now, because you're being inundated with misinformation. But the one thing you've got that they can't jam is the Holy Spirit. They can't jam that. Now, here's what the enemy can do, though. They can contaminate the pineal gland, which is your antenna in the spiritual world. That's why we've talked about for the 21 years, because we're coming up on the 21-year mark now. In the 21 years of broadcasting, we've talked about the necessity of your health. It wasn't just so you feel better. It wasn't just so you had a better attitude. It wasn't just so you'd be a better soldier. It's also that you'd be a better follower of the way, that you'd have a better communication with our Heavenly Father, because the pineal gland is a very small gland right up there inside your skull. It's where the third eye is, right there between, right above the bridge of your nose. The third eye that sees into the spiritual realm. Now, why is that important? Why does the enemy want that contaminated? Well, because then it shuts down your communication. You see, they can't jam it. They can get you to put that electronic toilet in front of you 24 hours a day. That sort of jams it, but that little voice can still sneak in there once in a while. Every now and then the thing shuts off, or you go somewhere in some other room or whatever. That little voice can creep in there, so they want to make sure to shut down as much chance of the Holy Spirit talking to you as they can. So what better way to do it than to poison you with vaccines, poison your water, poison your food, and poison your air? Because they, unlike most of you, know that the pineal gland is very susceptible to contamination. So if they can get you to buy their junk food, drink their junk beverages, and breathe their chemtrailed air, your pineal gland will become calcified. And when it becomes calcified, it does not operate very efficiently. And I'm going to tell you something. In this day and age, you need to have that antenna as clean and in as good a working order as you can possibly have it. Another analogy would be, again, back to my days in the Air Force, the B-52 bombers. One of the things that the ground crew, the crew chief and the ground crew would always make sure were nice and clean was our electronic countermeasures antennas. And why was that? Because a dirty antenna will reflect part of the energy back into the transmitter, which will cause a weaker signal. And if it gets bad enough, can actually do damage to the transmitter by getting the standing wave ratio up to where it will actually damage. But it would definitely make a much weaker signal. And if it's a weaker signal, there's a chance the enemy could lock onto your aircraft and shoot you down with a missile. That's why those of us that worked in electronic countermeasures during the Vietnam War, we were treated very well by the officers who flew the planes, because we kept them alive. Because they only had seconds. In a B-52 bomber, the electronic warfare officer had 7 seconds to jam the enemy radar, or else it was too late. 7 seconds. Okay, now today that's all computer driven, but back in the day in the 70s, of course, the electronic warfare officer had to be sharp. He had to sit there with his eyes glued to that ALR-20 receiver and watch those signals of the enemy all the time, because his transmitters are not on. His transmitters are in standby. Because if you're radiating all the time, the enemy knows what frequency your transmitters are operating at. They can actually use your transmitter to track you. So the transmitters are sitting there in standby. That's why it was so important for that officer to be sharp and pay attention to his job. If he decided to be lackadaisical or doze off for a mere 7 seconds, He and his entire crew's life were now on the line because the enemy computers and the enemy radar systems only needed data for 7 seconds to figure out where that plane was. Do you see how critical it is that we pay attention, folks? How much responsibility? You know, we've become very lackadaisical in this society. We've become so complacent, lackadaisical, so soft. Now the enemy thinks that they can make their final push for continuance of beast government, as if that's important. We'd all be better off if the government, just like in Spain, if the government here was put out of work. If I had a button to fire every single person in federal and state government, I'd fire them today, right now. I'd push that button right now. I'd fire every single one of them. Nobody would get a check from government. Nobody. I'd end it right now. And then maybe some sanity would start to come back. Because charity belongs at the local level. If we had real churches full of real believers, we could say it's the church's job, but they're run by a bunch of whores right now anyway. So you can't say the church. We'll say the neighborhood. Good neighbors look out for good neighbors. Now, if you're a punk, if you're a misfit, if you're a troublemaker, well, they're not going to have much charity on you, are they? Well, that's good, because then you're going to starve to death, which is what punks should do. They should starve to death. You're either going to starve to death or you're going to get your ass down the road and see if you can get somebody else to treat you better. That's the way it works, folks. It's common sense. That's why the enemy wants to circumvent that system so that we're inundated with punks. Because most of the punks that we're dealing with are non-white punks. And remember, always remember, Jews are not white people. You look at how many people causing trouble in our societies today and tell me, how many of them are non-white? Almost all of them. You see, these are white nations, and when they were run by white people, just like David Manning says, when white people ran it, everything ran smooth as could be. And it's run like a cacistocracy now because the white people have been pushed out of the way. A lot of these people you think are white are actually not white. Many of them are Jews or half-breeds. That's not pure, brother, people. And again, Scripture says that we are to remain our purity. When it says that Noah, when he got onto the ark, was perfect in his generations, that's a piss-poor translation. What it should have said was they were racially pure. They obeyed the law and kept themselves pure. What were the people in the area around that particular region, what were they engaged in? Bestiality and race mixing. That's why they had to be destroyed with water. Flood washed them all out because it was polluted. Everything was polluted. The animal world was polluted and the people were polluted. Noah and his family were the only ones saved. And it was not a worldwide flood. Get that notion out of your head. Worldwide flood, my ass. All the people walking on this earth came from the three sons of Noah? Really? Tell me how that works. Come on, get on it. Come on, call in. Tell me how that works, okay? Those three guys, white guys, produced all these other races. How the hell does that work? No, come on, folks. It was not a worldwide flood. I don't care what anybody says. That's one of my tests, you know. I have a few tests to know who I should listen to. There's a few things that if these people violate these tests, I won't listen any further to what they say. One of them is if they tell me it was a worldwide flood. All right, well, that guy, throw anything he says out. If they tell me all the races came from the sons of Noah, well, you can throw that out. If they tell you race doesn't matter and interracial dating and marriage is okay, well, you can throw that one out. If they don't know the true history of World War II at this time, with all this information and the internet and everything else, if they can't tell who the real culprits of World War II were and they're still blaming the Italians and the Germans, well, you can throw them out too. I throw them out. If they're that stupid, and that ignorant that they can't figure that out, I don't listen to a damn thing they say. Now, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm just telling you what I do. Because we're at a critical junction. We need truth. Right? My people suffer from what? Lack of knowledge, lack of truth, and lack of vision. Well, you can't have either if your sources of information are coming across that electronic toilet and you haven't put them through the test. Now, the mainstream media fails every one of those tests, so why would you listen to them? Every one of the talking heads coming from government offices is a liar and a misfit. Every one of them, because none of them tell the truth about the areas we just talked about. If they don't tell the truth about Oklahoma City, I throw them out. If they don't tell the truth about 9/11, I throw them out. If they don't tell the truth about Las Vegas, I throw them out. If they don't know that almost everything we see on these flat screens is staged, almost everything is staged, I throw them out. If they think there's a real pandemic, you got to remember, what does the word pandemic mean? It means all the people. Pan is another word for all. And I'm glad Florida Maquis and others have got this straight. Pandemic. I thought most people knew what that means. Tear it down. It's a compound word. Pan meaning all. Like Pan Am, all the Americas. Pan, demos, just like democracy, demos, the people, all the people. This thing is so far from a pandemic, it's unbelievable. And yet they keep using the word. Why? Because they want you to react with emotion. That's how the enemy gets you. Because he knows that the average person, once you turn on their emotions, you turn off their brains. It's like people can't operate in both. They can't have emotions working and the brain working at the same time. Okay? It just doesn't happen. So once you excite the emotional part, the brain shuts off, at least the average American, especially the average American eating the standard American diet, which is nothing but shit food. Okay? Their pineal gland is pretty much all calcium now. They couldn't hear the Holy Spirit if he was using a megaphone. And their brains don't work right. So they can't see through anything. They believe the bullshit coming across the tube. The idiot box. And they're going to suffer for it. And they are suffering for it. Now, the good news is there is a remnant. A remnant means what? That means a remainder or a portion, just like a remnant of carpet. A portion out of the whole. A portion of Abraham's children, a portion of Adamic men and women are his remnant. Well, Dan, well, I got a question for you, Dan. What about all the other races? Because, you know, Dan, we got to care about the other races. Really? Where does it say that in Scripture? I want to know that. Where does it say you're to care for the other races above and beyond your own race? Where does it say that? Where does it say you allow your children to be murdered and poisoned so that you can care about other races? Where does it say that? Well, Dan, come on now. You know it's what would Jesus say? Well, actually, I do know what Jesus would say. Yeshua HaMashiach. I do know what he would say, and he would not say what you're saying. He would not say, bring all the little children unto me. Yeah, the light brown ones and the black ones and the Mexicans and the bring all them little children over here to me. Well, I got news for you. That is not what he said. That's not what he said. In the book of Matthew, once again, he said, I came but for the lost sheep of the house of Jacob Israel, the people that speak and write in the Greek language and Aramaic language, the language of our people. That's who he came for. Why? Because they are the only people throughout history who were ever called his sheep. The only people ever called his sheep. And why did he come? To reclaim and redeem that which was lost. And when Christ walked this earth, the Arian Christ, he did not speak to Aborigines, American Indians, Asian Indians, Chinamen, Jews, or any of the others. He did not speak with them. And yet, we've got people walking around today who are sitting in front of those electronic toilets, coming across those flat screens, telling you that Jews are God's chosen people. Huh? You know, there is an element of truth to that. If you think of when he says God, like John Hagee or Kenneth Copeland or the rest of the whores that are out there, when they say God, now you can't read their script, it probably has a little G, God. Because the Jews are the chosen of Lucifer, Satan. They are chosen of him. Now, some people say, well, Dan, I don't believe there's a literal Satan. Okay, you don't believe that. That's okay with me. But your enemy does. And that's by, and I've got the quote right over here from a rabbi and a Jew, a prominent Jew, that has said that. Most Jews will not admit it, but our God is Satan. We worship Satan and serve him. Whoa, right from the horse's mouth. So whether you believe in him or not is not as important as the fact that your enemy believes in him and worships what it believes to be Satan and the things of Satan. Your enemies do, and they're doing everything they can to bring in his kingdom. They're destroying Yahweh's kingdom. And I'm sick and tired of these people that say, well, you know, Dan, Yahweh is a Jewish term. The name of our Father is a Jewish term, really. Again, when people say that, I just start turning down the volume because they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. Sorry, you don't. Go look at the Dead Sea Scrolls. What were the Dead Sea Scrolls written in? Block Hebrew, which is the invented Masoretic alphabet that the Jews today use. It's not the Hebrew of ancient times. Now, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, in this Masoretic made-up block Hebrew, they'll have all these writings, but when they get to the name of our Father, guess what? It reverts to Paleo-Hebrew, our language. Why do you think that is? Why do you think a bunch of lying deceivers, Jewish Masoretes, why would they write their polluted text in their made-up script, but when they get to the name of the Father, they revert back to the ancient Paleo-Hebrew? Why would that be? Why would you do that? Do you think there's a curse that comes when you print it in the wrong characters? That you're writing a whole manuscript of made-up bullshit? But when you get to the author of life and truth, you got to put it in his own script. Do you think that might have had something to do with it? Why else would you do that? Also, can you picture a bunch of these hook-nosed Jews sitting around as they're promoting this Masoretic text bullshit as the true scripture? They're sitting around going, well, you know, the God above is going to hold us accountable for lying to his people. Oh, no. We're covered because we put his name in the original text. If they're not smart enough to figure out that there's a different set of alphabetic characters here and that we've invented a whole new one, a corrupted version, if they can't figure that out, then we're not responsible. I mean, come on, guys. Let's sit. Come on, oy vey. Think about it. We put the word pharmacy above that building full of poisons and drugs used in sorcery and black magic. Yahweh hasn't held us accountable for that, has he? Because we warned them. It's not our fault that they can't read the Greek language. They forgot how to read Greek. It's not our fault that their preachers are nothing but whores teaching the message that we gave them in the seminary to teach. That's not our fault. We put the word right there in big red letters on the top of the door. We're not responsible for poisoning them. Oh, we're making billions of dollars. We're not responsible. We told them. When we formed the Federal Reserve in 1913 in the United States, it was well known that we were international bankers. We're not even Americans. We're international Jewish bankers. If they read the Federal Reserve Act, they would have known that. If they had paid attention to the fact that we tried to get this bill passed under a different name with a different sponsor 10, 15 years earlier, and then we just changed the name and the sponsors. Oh, we did change one other thing. Yeah, we had all the bankers come out against it this time instead of for it. And again, we turned on the emotional buttons. Oh, the bankers are against it, so it must be good. Did anybody read it? They would have seen it was almost word for word exactly the same as the bill that was put down by the Supreme Court a mere 10, 12 years earlier. But no, they didn't. They went by pure emotion because already we had gone into 1913, things were bustling along pretty damn good. And so we were asleep. Things were getting better. We had booze was flowing, crops were growing, businesses were going. Oh, we went to sleep. We went to sleep. And Satan's kids came in, took over. And while they were at it, they said, well, these people are not very sharp. They're not really following us, so let's throw in the IRS and Social Security. Another hook, another jewel to ensure continuity of government. We'll steal part of their money and then promise to give some of it back to them. Well, what happens, Dan, when the person dies, when they die at 32 or 34 years old, all that money, where does that go, Dan? How do they get it to my family? Well, Billy Joe, let me tell you, it goes into the coffers of government. Your family doesn't get it. Well, Dan, how's that fair? Well, Billy Joe, it's not fair, but you signed up for it. You've allowed it to happen. You've allowed these creatures, these monsters that walk amongst us to pull this shit for decades upon decades, and you haven't figured it out yet. It's all about keeping the government happy, keeping their coffers full so they can go out and buy more traitors. They can buy more sheriffs by giving them free money and free cars and free MRAPs. So now the sheriff is more beholden to the feds than he is to the people of the county. Completely subverted and polluted. That's not who the sheriff. The sheriff is the Shire Reef. Remember I told you that. The word sheriff comes from Old England. The Shire Reef. Reef of the Shire. Reef was an Old English term for a magistrate. And he was one of the most powerful magistrates in the area. He reported straight to the king. And why was he the reef of the shire? Because he was responsible for the people in his shire. Shire is the same as parish or county here. So the shire reef. You see? Common sense, folks. It's all simple. It's common sense. Common. What does common sense mean? Common meaning it's God's law. Common, meaning you should hear it by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should testify to these truths. That's why in Scripture it says, accept all things and keep that which is good. I think it's in the book of Thessalonians. One of the things Paul said that was actually right. Okay? Accept all things and keep that which is good. What's that saying? That's a biblical way of saying keep an open mind. Go ahead and hear it. If your neighbor has a different point of view, whatever, your brother, your sister, your friends, whatever, and keep that which is good. Okay, who decides what's good? Our Father does. Our Father does, and the Holy Spirit testifies to that. If it doesn't pass the sniff test of the Holy Spirit in common sense, then you throw it away. Eat the meat and spit out the bones. Remember that. Eat the meat, but spit out the bones. That's another way of saying it. And especially in this day and age, you're going to get lots and lots and lots of different information. You have to sift it out. What passes the sniff test? If you want to get more academic about it, apply Occam's razor. And Occam is spelt like two or three different ways. That the one that comes to mind is O-C-C-U-M. And some versions have an H in there, but Occam. Occam's razor, R-A-Z-O-R, is basically a saying or an adage scientifically. Basically, it says the same thing. When you have conflicting points of view, conflicting theories, whatever, you keep the one that makes the most sense, the most simplistic and the most sense. That's pretty much what it says. So you apply Occam's razor. That's for you folks out there who don't believe the Bible's telling you anything. All right, well then just apply Occam's razor, all right? If you don't want to believe the book that was put here for us to instruct us. But here's the problem. You have to read it properly. Yeah, as the scripture calls it, rightly divide the word. It means rightly translate it. Because you have had the lying pen of the scribes. We were warned about that by the prophets. Beware the lying pen of the scribes. Okay, who are the scribes? They're the people that translated and copied the text of scripture for thousands of years. And I'm going to get back again, the remnant. You need to make sure your pineal gland, your antenna, is clean and in good working order in this day and age. You'd better do it. And I got news for you. The people out there are listening to things we talk about. Okay, I'm hearing it more and more and more as it percolates up through the population. They're starting to actually pay attention. How about that? So it's very important that you, as listeners, you are living Bibles to the people around you. Do you know that? Everything you say, everything you do, how you carry yourself, everything about you, you are a living Bible to the people around you. Now, why is that important? Because his true remnant, the ones that are still asleep, the ones that have been preordained to wake up at this time, that valley of dead and dry bones, they're going to be watching you. They're going to be listening to you. And you don't have to go find them. There's an old saying that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. When the Israelite is ready, the teacher will appear. The right people are going to take note of you. You don't have to go find them. They're looking for you. And when they listen to you and they realize that there's something different about you, they're going to seek you out. They're going to seek your counsel and your advice. And eventually they're going to ask for your wisdom. You're part of his remnant, his elect, in this day and age, folks. And these poor people that have been blind and ignorant for all this time, they're desperate to hear truth at this time. There's a famine for truth. You are Yahweh's living, breathing instruments of his message to his people. You are. Don't look around for somebody else to do it. We're late in the game now, folks. And just as I was talking to one of my Israelite brothers last night, I said, you know, most of the men I know are pretty modest. In fact, all of them are. They don't think they're worthy to be his ambassadors. They don't think we're worthy to be his avant-garde. But like I told my brother, I said, buddy, in all your travels, have you ever met anybody more worthy than our group? And I'm asking the audience today. If we're not his ambassadors at this point in time, who is? Who are his workers for this day and age, if it's not you and I? If you've got somebody that knows it better or does it better than we do, then let me know about them, because I'm going to go join them. Because that's where I want to be. I want to be in the camp of the saints. I want to do the work of the Father. But I'm not going to submit myself to those that do not do the work properly. So, if you know somebody who's closer to the Father and walks closer to the Father and teaches better than what we do, then you let me know. I'll shut this thing down and I'll leave. No, you are his remnant. That's why everything you say and do on a daily basis is very, very important. And again, why I stress the health issue. Our people are sick. Take a look at them out there. They're sick. They're obese. They're not healthy. They're sick. Mentally, spiritually, and physically. And you're the doctor because you have the medicine that makes a difference. You have Yahweh's truth. And in an age when lies and deception are all around us, you're the one that's carrying that fresh, tall glass of cool water from the well, as Christ referred to it as. They're thirsty, folks, for knowledge, truth, and somebody they can trust. And you have to be that somebody. Because if not you, then who? Now the good news is, we win this thing, folks. How in the world that's going to happen, I can't tell you. Has not been revealed to me. I have no idea how it's going to happen. Only that it is going to happen. This kingdom that's coming, this new heaven and new earth, is for here, right here. We're not going anywhere. There is no rapture train coming. There is no get out of jail free card for you folks. But there is the protection that Father guarantees us in Psalm 91 and elsewhere. We are his battle axe and weapons of war, as Jeremiah tells us. We are to visit upon the wicked the punishments written, as Psalm 149 says. That's our job. So at some point, Yahweh is going to form us into a vast and mighty army, and we will take down this beast. Just not yet. So it is painful, and trust me, I know, it's painful to watch the complete insanity that's going on right now. It is frustrating to know these truths and listen to these talking heads spew out their lies and their poison daily, and the mainstream media just pumping it out there for the unsuspecting masses to gobble it up, even though they know damn well it's all a lie. Now, some of you folks are addicted to that flat screen. I'm telling you, the more you turn it off, the better off you're going to be. Or else, use that flat screen to do some research and digging into truths. But you're not going to get it the easy way. You're not going to get it from any mainstream avenues. You're going to have to dig. You're going to have your antenna tuned up so that you can sift through the bullshit and dig out the nuggets of diamonds, the nuggets of gold, out of the garbage, out of the dung, so to speak. Diamonds out of the dung. But you can do it. You can do it. So pay attention. Give me feedback. Again, go to the website, PastorDan.net, and the contact page there. If you notice anything about phones and or computers, the folks that are contacting me are noticing it, and I'm noticing it, and I think it's being done intentionally because they want to give credence to this whole idea that we have to have 5G, which is a lie. So they want you to beg for being bombarded with this new technology. Higher frequencies up in the weaponry range. Okay. Now the good news is there are people all around the earth that are burning these towers. Okay. You're not hearing about that probably either, but they are. all across the earth, these towers are getting struck by lightning. They're catching on fire on their own. Some cases, they're being set on fire by people. One guy sent out a video where, I think it's in Australia, the birds were attacking a tower. They were actually tearing cabling and boxes apart on this tower. These birds were. It was amazing. So, there is a pushback, and that's why the beast is trying to force it down our throats. They want the people opposed to 5G and vaccination to look like we're the outliers. Well, we are the outliers, because we know the truth. And they're going to try to push us into a corner. They're going to threaten your job. They're going to threaten your ability to feed your family. They're going to threaten your ability to travel. They're going to threaten all that, that if you don't succumb, you're not going to be able to do it. This is the test, folks, that we've been talking about for a long time. You're entering it right now. You see, it's been easy, relatively easy, to call yourself a believer up till now. Okay? Yeah, that's true. The mainstream churches won't let you talk in them, and many of your friends and family will ostracize you. That's true. That's true. But that's not that hard. It just means you don't have as many friends or as many family members that you communicate with. What's going to be hard is the real test that's coming, when it could mean that you're going to lose your pension or lose your job or maybe even lose your life because you won't submit. That's the real test. I'm going to tell you, when he says, my flock is a small flock, the remnant is but a small, tiny remnant, he's not kidding. How many people do you know mentally, day in and day out, mentally are preparing themselves for the fact that one day they may have to give up their life for the sake of the kingdom, for Yahweh's truths? How many? How many even think about that? I think about it every day, and I have for a long, long time. Back before I even started this radio show, I thought about it all the time. What will you give up to be able to stand for the Father? Little inconvenience? What about when it cost you your car, your home, your job? Or your life. Now, for me and my house, I've made it very clear, they're not putting that shit in me. They can call it a vaccine, they can call it anything they want. I'm not going to voluntarily allow them to put it in me, and I'm not going to let them in my house. I'm not going to change anything I do for these people. I haven't put a mask on yet, and I don't plan on putting one on. I haven't worn gloves. I haven't protected myself or shielded myself in any way. Why? Because I have a very good immune system. I'm not worried about the flu, because that's all this thing is, a flu, folks. Do you understand that all these morons that are running around out here with all this shit on their heads and some people with plastic bags over them and shields and all these people in uniform, they really cracked me up. You poor cops, you're out there, you got a shield on and you're sucking your own air in through that mask. That's actually the unhealthiest thing possible. Maybe we should be grateful that the cops and all that are helping out are doing the stupid things they say, because it's actually very unhealthy. So maybe we should actually be encouraging that, because if you're going to help bring in the New World Order, I can only hope that you do get sick. I think you should do more things. In fact, I think everybody in uniform should be lined up down there and get a vaccination. And I think you need to be chipped, because you're working for the New World Order and you think that you're going to force us to do it. Well, I think you got to do it first. Go down there and get your chip and get that poison put in you. Then you become completely anti-Christ. If you ever watch any of the videos put out by Del Bigtree, he had some pretty good interviews. He interviewed the young Marine who's also a doctor that challenged those guys in California, and he actually got some of the police to back down and actually leave the area. So that was a very good interview. There was also an article I just read that they have now got evidence of 10 governors who conspired to alter the figures on coronavirus deaths in order to maintain the lockdown. Now, you got to ask yourself, folks, why are they so interested in maintaining this lockdown? That's what you should be asking yourself. What's going on? What's the real story? Because it's got nothing to do with this flu bug. So what are they up to that they must get everybody to comply with all this and lock everybody down and steal? And that's the other thing going on. They're wiping out the middle class. You know that, right? Because your big brick-and-mortar stores like Walmart, Kmart, Target, all the ones that are part of the New World Order, they're open. But the mom-and-pop businesses can't be open. What are they doing? They're wiping out the middle class. They're also wanting you to stay locked down because they want what? They want you to do everything online. They want you to order and buy everything online. They want you to do everything online. Why? Because then they have a record of absolutely everything you do. Every contact you have, every grocery item you buy, every item of clothing that you buy, every book that you read, they know it. Because they're trying to figure out who they can trust and who they can't. We're at the end games, folks. This is the big showdown. And this is how they track you, and this is how they tag you and everything else. The good news is that people are fighting back, and there's a lot more interest in Scripture, and I'm hearing a lot more references to our Father, and I'm also hearing a lot more references to His proper name as both the Messiah, Yahshua, and as Yahweh El Shaddai. A lot more. So praise Yahweh. It took this much pain and this much perversion to get people to wake up. I'm astounded. Alexandra Kitty wrote a book, Don't Believe the Lies, How Lies Become News. That was the name of her book. Excellent book. You should read it. Also, I got a link that was sent to me about a medical term that has just come out, super fecundation and super fetation are two processes whereby a single woman in her womb can have children by two different fathers. Can you think of the story of Cain and Abel? Go. People say, well, that's not possible, Dan, you know, Adam, he was the father of Cain and Abel. No, he wasn't. Cain was the progeny of Nakash. Eve laid with Nakash. And that's where Cain came from. And then Adam laid with Eve later, and Abel was the progeny. Now, people say, well, Dan, I think that, you know, Adam was the father of all races. Well, that's, first of all, that's impossible. Second of all, whether she had Cain and Abel at the exact same time or not, I don't know. If you got a time machine? I don't have a time machine. Do you have a time machine? Right, so you can go back there and watch her give birth? If you don't have a time machine to go back and watch her actually give birth, you don't know. We have an educated guess based on what we read in ancient text, but that's all it is, an educated guess. You don't know. Nobody knows. So why are we arguing about it? All we need to know that Cain came from a completely different bloodline than Abel. And that's provable by Luke and the other New Testament writers when they give the genealogy of Christ. Cain is never in the genealogies of the Israelites. Never. Cain was forbidden and told to go off to the east, wasn't he? Okay? He went off to the east, and what did he do? He built a city. What do you build a city for in the east if there's no other people around? Who the hell's going to be in your city? Donkeys? Camels? Horses? Goats? What? What the hell do you need a city for if it's just you and your bride? Well, obviously, the answer to that is there were other people on this earth. And again, this does not say that the other people don't have value. They're a creation of our Father, and that they don't have a right to life, liberty, and property, the same as all men do, because it's a God-given right. The difference is that we are His peculiar people. We were put here to administer His law on the earth. We were to ensure that all mankind has life, liberty, and property. All of these world governments are antithetical to that. All of these world governments want to control life, liberty, and property. Okay? They want control, which is what? Antichrist. Is it not? Is that not the beast system? World government? Let's see here. Gary asked me, where did Yeshua teach in precatory prayer for his enemies in the New Testament? Pray for those that persecute you. Jews are persecuting the white race. Yahweh never taught that we are to forgive our enemies as far as non-white enemies. No, he didn't teach that. He didn't teach even white people that are non-believers that they should be forgiven. No. All of the admonitions in Scripture were for believers, brothers, adelphos of the same race, brothers who shared both DNA and faith in Yahweh. That's my brother. If you're not my brother, I don't need to show you any kind of courtesy whatsoever, other than protecting your life, liberty, and property as long as you behave yourself. Now, when you commit murder, you no longer have a right to life. If you commit rape, you forfeited your right to life. If you're a thief, you forfeited some of your property to pay back to the victim of your thievery. If you're a pedophile, you sacrifice your right to life. You don't have a right to life if you're a pedophile. If you commit treason against my nation and my country, you will die. You sacrifice the right to life. But if you don't commit the crimes spoken of in Scripture, then you have a right to life, liberty, and property, and we, as His sons and daughters, will fight to the death to preserve that right for all mankind. That's our job. Teach His law to all of mankind. Because as we all obey the law, life gets better for all of us, doesn't it? Sure it does. Sure it does. And that's the whole lesson we're supposed to learn from this, folks. And again, you know, some people say, "Well, Dan, you're teaching a white supremacist point of view." Well, that's just a term of derision to attack me with ad hominem attacks because they can't answer and do a rational debate. Okay? They can't address the real issues and debate you. So what do? They attack you with that ad hominem attacks against your person. Okay, who's famous for doing that? Pretty much all Jews. Every Jew I've ever debated, that's what they do. When they start losing the argument, you see, they'll start out a debate trying to act like an intellectual. Every Jew I've ever debated did that. He tries to pretend to be an intellectual. So he'll come off with his communist Talmudic bullshit, trying to speak as if it's truth. And as soon as you destroy that, and as soon as you do not back up because of his, quote, credentials or standing, and you attack his logic and prove him to be a liar, then they lose their composure. Every single Jew I've ever debated did this. And when they lose their composure, they become vile, venomous creatures. you will hear things come out of their mouth that will absolutely stun you. And that's how you know you win. Once they lose their composure and start spewing out their poison, calling you every name they can think of and deriding you, now you know you've won the argument. And maybe you folks have had a different experience, but I'm telling you from my own personal experience, every single Jew I've ever had in a debate operated the same way. And these academics are the same way. You take like that Fauci character. As soon as you get in his face and challenge him, he turns into a completely different creature. While Trump and the rest of these automatons are parading his sorry ass out there in front of the camera and touting him as some kind of expert, oh, he's all happy. He'll come across as being sophisticated, educated, oh, yeah. But as soon as you challenge him on his past, as soon as you challenge him on the Jewish shekels hanging it out of his pocket, he becomes a different creature. All of them do. I've seen it in the courtroom when I challenged Jewish prosecutors and Jewish attorneys and Jewish judges. Oh, yeah, they come across as highly sophisticated, highly civilized people until you challenge them. And you know you've got them when they completely lose it. I saw a judge one day, he turned completely purple and was spitting and throwing things around at the behind the bench because he was losing. He was losing. They're so used to us just rolling over and giving them whatever they want. They can't handle a warrior. They can't handle a warrior armed not only with courage to stand up against them, but with knowledge. With truth. We as a society have given up the fight. Their team is on the football field. Ours hasn't even put on the uniform yet. Pretty hard to win a game when you're not even on the playing field. You see, we've taken the position of losers. I can't tell you how many times. What are you going to do, Diane? There's so many of them. They got all the money, and they've got the cops in their pocket, and they've got the judges and the courts. Oh, my God, they got the government. What are you going to do? Well, I'm sorry. You fight. You fight. That's what warriors do. They fight against evil, corruption. You protect your families and your loved ones. You fight. Nowhere does he say you're guaranteed success or life in your fight. You still fight, though. As Stonewall Jackson, the famous general of the South in the War of Northern Aggression, said it, duty is ours. The consequences belong to the Father. Our duty is to fight. Our duty is to come back together as a family and fight this fight. Let Father take care of the consequences. Let me give you an example. That brave woman out in California that owned a salon, and she challenged it. She said, I'm going to feed my family. I'm opening up my salon. And that nigger, because he is a nigger, okay, I only use that term when it applies. And that black judge in California is a 100% psychopath communist nigger. That's just what he is. And he put her in jail. He had her arrested, put her in jail because she, quote, defied the law. Well, first of all, these lock-in-place and lockdown things are not laws. Their orders. Well, the only people that have to obey an executive order are people that work for the executive. So cops, yeah, you got to wear a mask. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You people in the state house, yeah, you got to wear them because your executive said so. But we the people don't work for your damn executive. So this lady in California challenged all this. And now I guess the Supreme Court of California has ordered her to be released. And patriots started a GoFundMe page for her, and she's got $500,000. If you want to call electronic digits dollars, her GoFundMe page has $500,000 as of yesterday. That fast, people stepped up. Now, why am I telling you that? Do I want you to go out there and challenge and get yourself in trouble so they can have a GoFundMe page and you get hundreds of thousands of dollars? No, that's not the point. The point of it is, this lady took a stand. That's what people are looking for, guys. Where the hell are the men? Why is it the ladies are taking a stand? Where are the guys? Did you forget where your balls are, boys? Time to pick them things up off the nightstand and put them back in your sack, okay? Why is it the ladies? And this one particular lady did it, and there were that many people who supported her that she had, within days, $500,000 to support her efforts. Not to mention all the people that have volunteered to give her legal assistance and advice and help her fight. Because she took a stand, folks. That's what I'm trying to tell you men. You men, you warriors out there. Our people are looking for leadership. You're part of the remnant, which means you're a leader. Take a stand against tyranny. You might be surprised what the Father will open for you. You might be surprised at the doors that will open and how much support you'll actually have. This country's suffering right now for a lack of leadership. Now, some people, I've heard Coach Davimir and others talk about a lack of leadership in the church. How about lack of leadership, period, for our people? Where are the real men? Forget the church. The church is just an organization. Actually, if you want to know the truth of it, the word church is not even a proper term. Ecclesia is what the Greeks called us, and it means the called out ones. It has nothing to do with an institution or a building. The called out ones. You're part of his ecclesia, his called out ones. They're the ones that matter. They're the ones who should be providing the leadership for the body of believers in these latter days. Okay? Not an institution, not a building. That's ludicrous. Those can be contaminated, and they have been. The organized churches are the whores spoken of in Revelation. They are the daughters of the great whore, the Roman Catholic Church. Think about it. Where did all the mainstream denominations come from? Protestants, remember? Protesters. Protestants of what? Roman Catholicism. So they were Catholics who formed their own, quote, denominations in protest to the Roman Catholic Church. So they're the daughters of the great whore. So they themselves have now become whores, just different whores, that's all. Roman Catholicism is one type of whoredom, but Protestantism, mainstream denominations, are whores of a different order, that's all. They just operate under different rules. They're still whores. They still do what they do for profit. They're not teaching the truth. I've been in a lot of different denominations over the years. I haven't heard one of them speak truth. Okay? Not one. Not one. What? Name one church. Somebody call in here or write to me and tell me one church you've been in that talks about race mixing, for one thing, that talks about homosexuality being a sin, that talks about transgenderism being a sin, that talks about the fact that the Jews are the sons of Satan and they're our enemies, and they've always been our enemies. Where do you hear that, folks? Where do you hear that? As Henry David Thoreau said, for every 1,000 whacking at the branches of the tree of evil, there's only one trying to chop out the root. I've paraphrased it just slightly. But that's what he said. So for every 1,000, think about that, every 1,000 people, there's one that's actually attacking the real problem. So one in 1,000 get it. Everybody else is out here, oh, Dad, oh, they're making me get a vaccine, they're making my kid go to school, they're charging me property tax, I got income tax, I got all these things, they're choking me, they're choking the life out of me, Dan. 1,000 people bitching and moaning and whacking away at it. What's the root? What's the root of our problem? book of Revelation tells you. The son of perdition is who? Who is the son of perdition that's exposed at the end of the age? And the whole world realizes that these demented little sickling people, these psychopaths, these little mealy-mouthed Dr. Fauci's and Dr. Burks and Bill and Bezos and Bill Gates and his tranny wife, these sick, demented people are the ones that deceive the whole world? Zuckerberg. All the rest of them. This group of sick, moronic miscreants deceive the whole world? Yeah, exactly. There's your root, folks. And that Susan Wojcicki or whatever the hell her name is, or whatever that Jewish hag in charge of Facebook. Okay, they're all of them. Twitter, Jack Dorsey, Twitter, Facebook, Google. They're all in bed together. They're all part of that cabal. They're all these sick little demented miscreant psychopaths. This group of misfits deceived the whole world and got us to believe a big lie? Yeah, it's as simple as that. If you take that group out of the equation, life on earth returns to normal. The skies become clear. The water is fit to drink. Food grown from the ground from real seeds and not hybrid. No pollutants put on the crops. Animals treated humanely. And neighbors get along with neighbors. Because that's what mankind does. When you get governments out of the way. And these corporations are just a branch of government. Who creates corporations, folks? Government. They're charters issued by the government, which basically means if the government is saying, if you allow us to be in partnership with you, we will limit your liability. Where in God's word does it say a group of people get to limit their liability for producing poisons or faulty products or telling us lies and misinforming us? Where does it say that? Where do they get a pass because they signed a charter with the misfits in our government? No, corporations are daughters of the beast. They're no different than the beast itself. Corporations need to go, and so do these governments. The greatest mass murderers in all of history have been governments and government agencies, including military and police. The beast is in the form of government. And how many people think, well, Dan, how would we live without government? Well, last time I checked, Christ said, I'm the government. The government is on his shoulders. You see, we walked away from the Father at Mount Sinai, and he divorced us. Do you think he might be asking if we might repent of that now? Do you think maybe we should forget that whole notion of man ruling over man and get back to being a theocracy? Do you think? Do you think maybe that's why the Jews put out so much propaganda saying theocracies are no good and never work? Do you think? Could it be? Possibly? I mean, they don't lie, do they? Jews don't obfuscate the truth, do they? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I guess they do, don't they? If their lips are moving, they're lying. If they put something in an article, oh, yeah, most of the time they're lying. Book of Revelation's true. Our enemy, the root of our problems, remains the same. So when the rest of that 1,000 decide whacking at the branches of this tree is fruitless and never produces any real change, maybe they'll join the remnant as we proceed to chop out the root. Because this tree is going to keep growing and it's going to strangle all of mankind if we don't chop it down and put it in the fire as we were commanded to do by the Arian Christ, our commander-in-chief. Think about it, folks. Think about it. Alrighty, let's see. I don't have any callers. Just one note here. Dan from Georgia and I were on Thursday night, but nobody showed up. So we ended up having a chat, and Henry from Connecticut joined us. So we had a really nice chat, just three men of Yahweh. But I don't know if you guys forgot, that's supposed to be every Thursday night, or there's just not that much interest. It could be that. But I know Dan was disappointed. So this coming Thursday, we'll probably try it again. But if we get the same results, we'll probably discontinue the series. Anyway, dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this chance to fellowship together. We praise the fact that your truths are going out there, Father, hard-hitting truths, and it's starting to actually permeate some of the thick heads of our people. They are a stubborn bunch, stiff-necked as hell, but it is permeating. I think the abuses and the tyranny has softened people up enough that your truths are actually starting to penetrate those thick heads. We certainly hope that's the truth in the way. We certainly hope that more people will wake up. There is strength in numbers, and you've said that our remnant we'll be part of that vast and mighty army. We pray for that army to show up quick before it's too late. You've told us that if you did not return when you did, no flesh would be saved. I think we're getting pretty close to that, Father, from what I'm seeing, which means that you're not very far away. And I pray that you would get here very quickly. I'm tired of seeing the arguing. I'm tired of the backbiting, the gossiping, the name-calling. Everybody who thinks they've got it right and everybody else is wrong. Not much fellowship, not much acting like brothers and sisters should act as family. Instead, everybody wants to be king. Everybody wants to be the pontificating expert, so to speak, instead of humble servants, as you taught us to be. After all, you're the King of Kings, and yet you lowered yourself down to wash the feet of your disciples, did you not? Our people have forgotten that attitude, humility, humbleness. Teach it to us again, Father. If it takes this much pain to do that, maybe that's a good thing. In the long run, maybe that's a good thing. If it takes this much suffering and stupidity in the world to get us to finally shut off that damn television and pick up a book or talk to somebody and learn some truth, maybe it's a good thing. This world is your creation, and it's your plan that will play out in the end, and we want to be part of that plan, and we want to be in your service. Help us to that end. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our shortcomings. Help us to be better family members and better warriors for you. And always, Father, protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we do ask and pray. Hallelujah.